Good evening. It's good to see you once again and be gathered to worship God this evening. I invite you, first of all, to open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8 will be our first reading of our discussion this evening. It's going to take us a little bit to get there, so just bear with me if you will. Love is often associated with hands or the use of them. Think with me about this connection. The song, Daddy's Hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I done wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but I've come to understand there was always love in Daddy's hands. Some songs, we sing right through them and may not recognize that the word hand is even in there. Lean on me. Lean on me has the phrase, so just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. I want to hold your hand was a song by the Beatles. Another song that the girls especially like is When You Say Nothing at All. In it comes the phrase, the touch of your hand says you'll catch me if ever I fall. Some of these songs predate my time and far enough in the past that I've never even heard of them, but there's one that says, don't give me no hand-me-down love. I have no idea. Easing into the spiritual study for the evening and looking at some spiritual songs that show this connection of love and the use of hands. What about the old favorite of put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water? What about he's got the whole world in his hands? Seen a little baby this morning that makes me want to sing. He's got the itty bitty babies in his hands. Indeed, he has the whole world in his hands. Heaven came down. In it, riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I received. Lean on his arm, hide in the hollow of his hand. Faithful love, which we just sang. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear, holds my hand when I can't stand on my own. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. About take my hand, precious Lord, or hand in hand with Jesus. Love is often associated with hands and the use of them. A little known song, its title is The Hand Song. It recounts a story of a small boy who came running to his mother with tears streaming down his cheeks and roses in his hands as he had gathered them as a gift for his mother. The tears were shed because he had cut his hands on the thorny stems of the beautiful red roses he had picked for her. In that song, the refrain says, he was showing his love, and that's how he hurt his hands. Think about Jesus with me for the next little bit, and think about his hands and how he used them to show his love for others. It's with his hands that he cleansed a leper. Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 are the Sermon on the Mount, you may recall. Following that Sermon on the Mount, we read in Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse number 1, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. That last phrase may catch our attention. It indicates that genuine faith. The message was not that if one simply believes that God will do something, that he will, but rather we must believe that God can do what we wish for Him to do, and that He can do what our desire for Him to do is. Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Daniel is there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they're in the fiery, about to go into the fiery furnace. And Daniel reveals some information to the king, telling him, God can and God will, but if He does not, it will not take anything away from God if He chooses not to deliver us. Listen to Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Daniel understood that God's choice in answering his prayer would not take anything away from God if he chose not to answer it as Daniel wished for it to be answered. Now, normally concerning those with leprosy, as Jesus was about to heal this one who touched a leper was a person who became unclean. Thus, ceremonial defilement occurred. Leviticus chapter 14, verses 45 and 46. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 2 and 3 account for this. This time, something different happened. The leper was cleansed when he was touched by Jesus. Jesus told the man following his cleansing not to tell, but putting ourselves in his shoes, it would be hard not to tell that we were once leprous, but the hand of Jesus has cleansed us. Thus, in Mark's account, Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 44, and Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Then comes verse 45. "However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction." With the hands of Jesus, he cleansed a leper. With his hands, he caused the deaf mute to hear and to speak. Look with me in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse number 31. "Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of the Decapolis in the city of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers in his ear, and he spat, and he touched his tongue. Then looking up into heaven, he sighed and said to him, 'Ephphatha,' that is, 'be opened.' Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, 'He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak.'" This is one of two miracles which only Mark records. And for your information, the other is the healing of the blind man in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. Now, I'm told concerning this passage of Mark chapter 7, 31 to 37, that those who have never heard often frequently have problems pronouncing certain words, and it seems to be the case here. Ephphatha is an Aramaic word, and Mark provides the interpretation which helps us out. It helps us to understand what is happening. Mark is writing to, in large part, a non-Jewish audience. And so he explains this Aramaic word to mean, "be opened." It may have been the case that because he was deaf, that he also had the inability to pronounce words plainly. Here again, Jesus commands them after the healing to tell no one, but they told it even more so. With the hands of Jesus, he calls the deaf mute to hear and to speak. It was a show of love. It was with the hands of Jesus that He gave sight to the blind. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse number 22. Then He came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Him and begged Him to touch him. And He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands on him. He asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. It's rather interesting that upon this occasion, the men that brought the blind man to Jesus requested that Jesus touch him to heal him. After spitting on the man's eyes, Jesus put his hands on him, and he could see, but not see clearly. Laying his hands on the man a second time brought clear sight and clear vision to the man. Jesus' healing of the blind man in stages paralleled the disciples' imperfect perception of Jesus. Like the man, the blind man, they were able to see Jesus, no longer blinded to who He was, though they could not see Him clearly as yet. Only the Holy Spirit could clearly reveal their vision of who Jesus was. But with the hands of Jesus, He gave sight to the blind. And so it was that with His hands, Jesus showed love. With His hands, Jesus gave assurance to a sinking man. It's in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33 that we'll be looking at, but it's also recorded in Mark chapter 6 and John chapter 6. Jesus sends the disciples to the other side of the sea while He Himself stays behind and sends the multitude away. And then going up on the mountain, He goes there to pray. When evening arrives, Jesus is alone on the land and the boat is in the middle of the sea, and they have had a hard time in crossing the sea because the wind was boisterous and it was against them. Jesus, seeing this, goes to meet them. And it's in the fourth watch of the night, sometime between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock a.m., that Jesus goes walking on the water to meet the boat, carrying the disciples to the other side. But He appears to be walking by or passing by the boat, as if He had no thought in His mind to actually stop at the boat. But the disciples see Him in the distance, and they think that they have seen a ghost, and so they are troubled and they're terrified. But when Jesus speaks, they immediately recognize Him. And it's only Matthew that accounts that Peter walked on the water. In Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22 and following, when we come to verse 28, Peter speaks to Jesus and he says, Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water. And Jesus said in verse 29, come. Peter starts walking on the water to go to Jesus, as we read Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 30. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me! And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, truly You are the Son of God. Jesus extended His hand in assurance to the failing faith of a sinking man. With His hands, Jesus gave assurance. With His hands, He restored life. Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 and 19, and then verses 23 through 26. Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 42, and verses 49 to 56 recount the same story. It's found in Mark chapter 5, and we want to look at Mark's account Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse number 21 and reading first through verse 24. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Jairus knew that Jesus could heal his daughter. However, he believed falsely, as it turned out, that Jesus had to actually be in her presence and physically touch his daughter for her to be healed. But his unshakable faith stirred the compassion of Jesus so that he began to follow Jairus to his home. It's in the middle of this event in which we find verses 25 through 34 yet another story of one who would like to be healed. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood 12 years and suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Now Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitudes thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Now, picking up with the context of our first story, that of Jairus and his daughter, who has lied at the point of death now and has now passed, as we begin reading in verse 35. While he was still speaking, some came to the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." The implication here is that since the girl had passed, her condition was irreversible. It was not reversible, and therefore Jairus was truly concerned. But Jesus immediately corrects this thought by insisting that Jairus stop being afraid and continue to believe as he had previously. Thus, verses 37 through 39. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult of those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And thus it was that Jesus removes all of the distractions from the home, enters into the room where the young lady is laid, along with her parents and three of his disciples, to heal her. Verses 40 to 43. And they ridiculed him, but when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered in where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumai," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that they tell no one, or no one should know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat. Talitha Kumai is another Aramaic term or phrase. And again, Mark gives us the interpretation so that we may also understand. Little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and she walked. Here again, those who were there to witness this miracle of Jesus were told not to tell, so that he could make a quiet exit from the city, for his time was not yet. The maiden is asleep in death, but Jesus' hands had the power of life. And so with his hands, Jesus restored life. With his hands, Jesus cleansed a leper. He caused the deaf mute to hear and to speak. He gave sight to the blind. He gave assurance to the failing faith of a sinking man. And he restored life. But at no time were those loving hands more precious, more loving than when they were nailed upon a cross for you and for me. Those bleeding hands, that bloody brow, his stricken back, the sword-pierced body of Jesus was given as a sacrifice for my many sins because of his love. Indeed, he was showing his love, and that's how he hurt his hands. It was upon one occasion following that time period when he hurt his hands that he said, "Behold my hands," John 20 and verse number 27. I call upon you this evening, and I call upon myself to always look to Jesus and his loving hands for an example of how my hands should be used to help others. Let us all see more clearly the love in the hands of Jesus. He truly loves and cares for each and every one of us. And he was shown that time and time again by the work of his hands. Will you show that love to others by the use of your hands? We talked this morning about binding the hands of Jesus. And we challenged you to resolve to loose the hands of Jesus so that he may save you, transform you, and use you. He will use your hands if you will allow him. It was with his hands that he showed us his love when he stretched them out wide and allowed them to be nailed to an old rugged cross. These thoughts are yours as we stand and as we sing.